This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Yep. Hello and welcome to the big Monday edition of Kennedy Molloy. Do we have a culture problem here with the staff?
I think we do. What do you mean?
I think they're a bunch of wackos.
What? We'll get to the bottom of that.
We will talk about that very quickly.
I don't know
what's going on.
Yeah,
it's all a bit new age, touchy feely.
It's a bit ooga booga. It's ooga booga.
What goes on in the world? All right, we'll get to that in just a minute.
How are you, Mickey?
I'm very good, Jane.
That's
what about
good.
Bridesmaid stories? You have a couple?
A couple have come across my desk today that I would like to hear everyone's opinion about. There's a bit of already mixed opinion of what I think.
You're all over this. Celine Dion has come a cropper. She has been wrecked.
I didn't even know she was here.
On the shore that is your voice. You're the voice?
Yeah, you're the voice.
Oh, well, I didn't know it. She didn't know it.
No,
apparently. Just one of her favourite songs. We'll get to the bottom of that and we'll ask off the back of that, what's the worst cover you've heard?
Now, you had, well, you thought you got a brilliant idea. And
don't back away now.
I'm not backing away. Did
it's
I back
genius.
It?
Genius.
Oh, yeah, I did think it was good. So we've got to talk to Steve Baxter from Shark Tank.
What's he ever done?
Quite a lot, actually.
Well, we'll get to the bottom of that.
Clever.
He better not go me, or I will make it my life's effort to ruin him as a businessman.
No, he's very firm.
And what's this idiot Limo's coming in?
And hang on.
What?
Don't say Limo's
in. Did you say he's got a beef with me?
I might.
He's got a beef?
Oh, yeah, he does, I think. Oh, yeah, fair enough.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of that, but he would better watch himself, or I'll be on the front foot straight away.
Just think about your stupid injuries people might have had, because I've got one that involves a wacky boob job.
All I saw was porn star, and I didn't read any further. I just ticked it off and said, let's talk about that. That'll be great. Calls,
excellent.
Tweets, we've got the lot. It's all here on the big Monday edition of Kennedy Molloy. Hello to you, Jane. Hello to you, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Guys. Happy Monday.
Dangerous
Monday.
Dave, they call him. He's so dangerous. What was the highlight of your weekend?
You know what the highlight was.
No, come on, tell me.
It was about 5:34 at my place
on
to the
Saturday,
west.
On night?
Saturday a.m.
Did you pull an all-nighter, did you?
Just getting home, were you?
No.
Ooh.
What do you mean?
I've been in bed for hours.
Did you set your alarm?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because of the moon, the blood moon, the lunar eclipse, which went for about an hour and 24 minutes, I think. And it was the brightest we've seen Mars in the sky for many years as well.
Where did you sit out on your balcony and your deck chair?
Just walked out into the backyard and took a really good photo with my iPhone, which was like a little dot.
It's not a good photo.
No.
It's a terrible photo.
Well, why didn't you even blow it up a bit?
Well, I tried to zoom in as far as I could.
That's as close as you can zoom in.
What's special about a blood moon, Dave?
It is when it's the Earth's shadow, right? So it's the sun's coming up and the Earth's shadow over the moon.
Bored.
Oh.
Sorry, mate. Got to do better.
Red.
I lost it.
It's pretty cool.
Do people go nuts on the blood moon?
They do, because it only happens once every...
Oh, don't tell me. You've been
bitten
by the, nerdy bug.
No, I did not get up.
Did you get up?
He was still up.
My mum was walking home at that precise time from a party at my joint.
We'll get on to that in a minute.
You know
what the blood moon does, though?
Oh, God.
People get energised. Is Whitney about? Whitney, can you come in quickly, tell us?
What's Whitney done?
Whitney,
well, she's as bad as you are.
Oh, I just sat up and watched it and did its thing.
Whitney,
I don't get too crazy by it.
Why is the blood moon good, and what did you do when it was the blood moon?
So I put my crystals outside so they could bathe in the moon.
What kind of crystals have you got?
I have amethyst and clear quartz and rose quartz and peacock ore.
Stick with us,
Mick. The old peacock ore. I'm a fan of that.
And you've got it in a little Tupperware box.
Well, the only reason I did that so they didn't fly away, because they're not that big.
I put my ring out there
and I didn't want that to come.
And what does it do? What do they do? Because I notice I sit next to you in our office, so I notice there's always a little tub of crystals pointed in my direction.
to ward off bad juju.
Yeah.
What are they doing? How are they helping?
Well, look, I'm only just kind of getting into it, so I'm not 100%, but it's just to re-energise them and their properties.
Have you had a traumatic experience recently or something?
Are you in trouble?
Is this a shout-out for some kind of help? I am going through dry July,
so I had to have something to hold on to.
I know. Whenever I'm in my crystal.
It's in the bottom of a pot glass. No,
whenever I'm in Byron Bay, there's a couple of shops there, actually. Surprise, surprise.
That's the best.
My daughter makes me go into the crystal shop.
What are you doing up there? You're a crusty. What do you do? Go up there and fire twirl? I don't know about this office anymore. I really. What do you?
In my spare time.
And have you ever got a crystal yourself? Or you?
I've bought them for my daughter, but not for me, because the powers won't have any use on me.
Have you noticed, Whitney, any change
too late for
since
me.
You got involved with the crystals?
Yeah.
What?
You look very vibrant and happy, but
thank
that's
you.
Just because you've been doing dry July. Thanks, Mick.
All right.
Now, Mickey, you were probably getting home as the blood moon. Oh,
I
no, you were
at
home.
Wasn't. I was trying to kick everyone out, including my mother. Was she there longer than you?
No, your mum was in great form. We just popped
and
in
we
for
had
a drink.
It wasn't a fully blown party. No, it was a dozen or so people for drinks to honour a friend of ours who's we bought a painting off her, and he's a good guy.
And Mickey made a platter of food. Well, he says he did.
Well, hang on.
You bet a platter of antipasto platter.
Antipasto, cheeses, about 5 different cheeses, some olives, some other stuff.
I'm impressed.
I was very suspicious.
On a very big wooden Viking-like board. That was.
See, now it's when you're saying it's a Viking-like board, and that's now we know you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Most people have a big wooden platter, Mick.
That's no one has one
it's
of
a
those.
Charcuterie platter he made.
It wasn't a charcuterie platter.
It had charcuterie it's, meat on it.
Did it? Some grapes and some cherries.
And some strawberries.
I was very proud of it.
It was very good. No, it was very
and
good
catch-up. And you'll be pleased to know it's still on my kitchen bench.
It is not, is it? Oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
Right, my joy is like a crime zone. I have not touched a thing.
Your mum was in great form, but she's very rude about you.
Isn't she?
Really?
I'm glad you said that.
Pie face.
She spends the whole time bagging me out. She doesn't do it deliberately.
She said she doesn't like your diet, what you're eating.
I'll tell you what she said. She said, you look fat in the TV. That's her opening gambit.
She was saying, Jane, I don't like what Mick's eating. And I said, well, I'm trying to get him onto soups, you know. There's a noodle place. And then Mick goes, oh, that's no good. I get all the pork spring rolls instead.
That's what I do. I just go in and get those. Anyway, all the pork spring rolls are my crystals.
Are they? They are. They are doing you well.
In fact, Whitney, bring me a Tupperware container full of pork spring rolls. Toot sweet. All right, coming up next, you've got some very funny...
bridesmaid stories.
Funny, interesting story.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
I'd like to say thank you for the feedback to our latest marketing picture, which is you and I as, who's it, Harry and Meghan
in their wedding carriage.
You know what's an interesting study is that I go to your Instagram site and there's such lovely comments, oh, Jane, you look beautiful. Oh,
some very nice things.
And then you go to mine, it's, oh, you fat bastard.
Your comments are... brutal,
is
I have
it,
to say.
It's like the difference between women and men in a broad stroke. Yes.
I have got a few. Have you got an example?
So just paint the picture for anyone who hasn't seen it. Go to our Instagrams, either Kennedy Malloy, Mick Malloy 66, or
Kennedy. Jane_L_Kennedy.
It's not that easy.
Yes, I know it's not. So don't worry about it. But we're dressed as Meghan and Harry in their royal
carriage
after they got married when they're waving to the crowd.
And there's been some response?
There has.
Get far away.
Oh, cute couple. Harry's been in a good paddock the last few weeks by the looks of it, says SSJ Adventures.
That would have been on mine.
Callista Rod says, nice to see your dad escorted you, Jane. XC Falcon says, when did Stalin shave off his mo?
It's a bit.
Oh, these are very brutal. Oh, yeah.
Don't worry, I cop one. Lee Brown 163 said, and she's wearing white? Beg your pardon? How dare you?
Indeed. And on and on they go. Have a look. Yeah. It's very funny. You have a bridesmaid story you brought to my attention in the office.
I have. It was really, look, it's caused a bit of consternation in the office, I must say. Mm. It's a girl who, she was invited to be a bridesmaid. Accepted. She lived on the other side of the country, as a lot of people do in the States, because they all go to different colleges. Mm.
How often in your life would you be invited to be a bridesmaid?
Oh, look, I would say probably 2 or 3, maybe.
So it's a big occasion.
It's a big ask and it's a big deal, and there's a lot of things that go with it, including buying dresses.
Is it highly politicised?
Very politicised.
Is it a rocky road?
Extremely. Well, you've got to deal with a bridezilla for a start.
Know your place.
This girl was in the States.
Why that purpley colour? Why is that always
lavender?
Why is that always appearing with bridesmaids?
Because all they want, they're thinking of the photo. That's all they're thinking of.
So they're deliberately trying to make the bridesmaids look ugly.
Don't you like lavender?
Oh, for God's sake! You know that purple thing?
Yeah.
It's purple taffeta. It's the only time you see it in the world.
I know.
Is three girls lined up like
in purple
on. Like the
I agree.
Death row going, make sure she looks good.
I know, but it's the it is about the bride looking the best.
Right.
Anyway, so she gets an email from the bride, this girl Courtney Duffy. Hi, I'm so glad to hear you've booked your flights, which she had done. I have a massive favour to ask you, though. This is one of the hardest things I've ever had to ask anyone. But I need to ask you to relinquish your duties as a bridesmaid. Now, she goes on to explain that because this girl can only fly over for the wedding.
Yeah.
There's a lot of palaver that's before that.
Like
there's
what?
Well, there's the hen's night and then there's
baby showers and stuff.
Not the baby shower yet, no.
Right.
There's the, like, you're talking like you know what you're talking about.
I know.
There's a dinner you have before the wedding. And she said, the whirlwind nature of what your travel has become just won't work with the duties as a party member. I'm so, so sorry. And I know this is incredibly awkward, but is there a possibility I might be able to have someone else step into the role and assume the duties? And could you please mail the dress back to me?
Oh, my God.
What do you think about this?
Wow.
Now, the feedback that's come out is actually very interesting. People are saying, well, fair enough.
No, no.
Fair enough from the bride saying, if you can't be part of the deal, why, you know. And then there's another one. Where the bride...
Hang on a second.
What?
Are you on the bride's side there?
No, I'm not on the bride's side. I think that's ridiculous.
I think
once
that's
you ask the bridesmaid, you should have them...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long you're there for.
You've committed.
You can't be stripped of your commission.
No, yeah. I think that's terrible.
It's like having your rank taken off you in front of the platoon.
No, that's terrible. This one, though, I agree with the bride. Are you ready? A bride-to-be reveals she planned to ditch one of her bridesmaids from the wedding... because the bridesmaid dyed her hair a terrible shade of pink a week before the big day. And she said, I think it's very self-centered of her and I think she just did it on purpose because she isn't my maid of honour and I was hers. She's just a bridesmaid. So she's making a bit of a statement. And she wants her to dye her hair back to her normal colour, which is brunette, because she's worried about what the photos will look like.
Pulling focus from the bride.
Mm. Yeah. Now, I think
that's
fair enough.
That's what control do you have over the
Well, you don't, but you go of
so all
times.
So all of a sudden the bridesmaids are like your minions, are they?
Yes.
Who you get to march around and
they have
to fall into line.
This is what bridezillas are all about. It's their day. It's their day.
So,
and they can do whatever they want.
Let me get this straight. If one of your bridesmaids turned up with pink hair.
I'd say, really?
You'd read the riot act
a week
and go,
before the wedding.
You take them out and whack them. You take them out, read the riot act.
Come on, let's go to the hairdresser. I'll shout it.
Right.
I'll shout the hair dye.
We'll wear a hat.
That's very controlling.
A lot of people replied to this on the Instagram and Twitterville.
Which way is it running?
It's going to the bridesmaid's side. And they're saying, it's none of your F-dotting business what colour her hair is. Why did you ask a woman you obviously dislike to be your bridesmaid? I wonder if this has happened to other people. Have you done something as a bridesmaid?
You're opening this up, are you?
And the bride's flipped out and hasn't liked it.
Or have you ever pulled a bridesmaid at the wedding?
Have you done the swapper room?
133353.
What do you mean? Pulled one. I wasn't even going there about pulling bridesmaids.
I'm just interested.
I thought you meant pull her from her duties.
Right. Okay.
133353.
Yeah,
I think we'll see some action here.
Take your calls after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Talking bridesmaids. Kennedy Malloy, Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy.
Oh, we were talking about some dramas with bridesmaids.
Whose side do you take in these bitter scuffles?
The last example I gave was that a girl dyed her hair pink a week before the wedding and the bride insisted on her changing it back to her original brunette colour because she didn't.
All of a sudden, the bridesmaids are the personal property of the bride, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently it is.
They will do her bidding.
Well, let's find out if some crazy things have happened to some of our callers.
You reckon this is the tip of the iceberg?
I think it might be. Sarah, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you going?
Good, Sarah. What's your story? Have you been a bridesmaid?
I've been a bridesmaid once and I got booted out once.
What?
Oh, hang on.
Why?
Okay, what was your crime?
Well, so basically we got told that the bridesmaid dresses were going to be $500, which was quite expensive.
Yep.
However, they weren't going to be due till the end of August. So that was okay. So you've got your time, your budget, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So then it got to April and we got a text message on the Monday saying that the dresses now needed to be collected at the end of that week and we needed to have the $500 in 4 days.
Oh, dear.
And, yeah.
That was an unexpected expense, right?
Yeah, and I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the money by then. She was just like, oh, well, just ask your parents for money. And I'm like, I'm
Just go to Hock.
You know, I'm a grown adult. I don't ask my parents for money anymore. And so she just replied with, oh, well, but maybe you should just not be a bridesmaid then.
Oh, wow. Sarah.
Hey, yeah. Nothing can be trouble these weddings.
I know that there is trouble. So may I ask, do you ever speak to her anymore?
No, we're not friends anymore, actually.
That's terrible.
I went to her wedding and I did a reading and she didn't talk to me the entire wedding.
What a bitch.
Who'd she replace you with?
Oh, I don't even remember, but the dresses weren't that great anyway.
Sarah, thank you for sharing that. It's really funny. We got a prize for Sarah.
Yeah, you got a prize pack coming your way, Sarah. Yeah, love it.
It's a bridesmaid's dress. It's a good one.
It's purple.
Lammy.
Mickey, how are you,
mate? I'm good, bud. Now, what was your story?
I love the show. Yeah, this girl, she got kicked out for getting pregnant.
Oh, she's going to have the big belly and the photos.
Oh, hang on. Now, that's not. So you're saying that there's going to be more questions about congratulations to you on my big day.
I don't think it's so much taking away the bride's moment. Do you, Lammy? What do you think the reason was?
Oh, just, yeah, she just, it's like Jane said, like the whole pictures thing, like they didn't want
to. You're trying to find a polite way of saying she's a bit of fatty boomer.
Yeah, they didn't want a fatty boomer in the photo and that was just, that's ridiculous.
You couldn't believe
it. But didn't we have a caller once on the show who told us that her friend went and got pregnant? No, the guy, the best man announced in his speech, he goes, oh, by the way, congratulations, but I just want to announce it's a special day because my beautiful wife, we're going to have a child.
Yes, and
then
stole
everyone
the thunder.
Spent the rest of the wedding going and congratulating them. That's evil.
Come on, that is evil.
All right, Lammy Lou, what are you thinking? What's the wedding?
So I was the bad bridesmaid.
Okay. What did you do,
what
Lou?
What did you do?
Well, I said yes to being the bridesmaid to my best mate from high school.
Yep.
And then about a month before the wedding, I did the world's greatest shave, and I was bald for her wedding.
Wow.
Now, let me get straight. The world's greatest shave is when you shave your head, but it's for charity, right? Yeah.
So you're not the world's worst person. It's just your timing's the world's worst, Lou.
So how did she break it to you? So did you just turn up bald for rehearsals or something, and she's going, what's going on?
No, I texted her one night and I said, look, I've said that I'm going to do the world's greatest shave. Is that going to be a problem? And she was fine about it. She's such a good girl.
Oh, she was fine about it.
Yeah, she let me be part of the day still.
Good idea.
Oh, that's a happy story.
Did you wear a wig?
I don't think you did wear a wig, did you, Lou?
I didn't wear a wig. No, I rocked it.
Oh, my God, that's pretty cool. Thank you, Lou.
Well done, Lou. You don't hear that every day, do you? Nicole.
Hi.
Were you the bridesmaid?
I was the bride.
You were the bride?
What happened?
What did you do?
I had four bridesmaids and I could only get certain sizes in dresses. I was going with two colours. And my sister-in-law decided while we were at the shop, because she didn't want to wear the pink one, which was the only one I could get in her size, and another lady to have it in the same size.
Yes.
She said, I'm not wearing that dress. I don't like that colour. I'm not getting that dress. I said, well, you can't be in the bridal party. Turned to the lady and said, these three girls, you can get their sizes in the colours that I want. She said, yes. And I said, right, order them in.
Now, Nicole, that is going to be...
This is brutal.
That's super awkward because she is your sister-in-law.
It.
Now, that's going to be tricky at Christmas, isn't it?
Well, hadn't seen her for maybe 6 months prior and haven't seen her maybe since.
Right.
Maybe.
Okay, well, yeah.
Can't see that changing any time soon. But correct me if I'm wrong, I know very little about weddings, but it's not the bridesmaid's prerogative to choose the dress.
No, it's
or
not.
The
but if you know the bride and the bride's a good person, they're not going to pick a really horrible frock for them for the girls to wear. I mean, come on, you've got to be, you know, a bit cool about it, I reckon. I've only been a bridesmaid once.
He would have been terrible.
I beg your pardon.
Did you get really drunk? Did you hit on the groom?
No, because it was my sister's wedding.
Well,
I'm not going to hit on my brother-in-law.
Well, he wasn't then.
I did get a bit drunk.
What were you wearing? What was the dress?
It was black velvet. It was beautiful.
Because your sister has very good taste.
She does. She actually got married in red velvet with a red veil.
Crikey.
Oh,
it's like the curtain going up on a show.
I had to talk Mum and Dad. She made me tell Mum and Dad.
All right, I'll tell you what we might do. We've got loads
we can
more
come
calls.
Back.
You want to come back and
good
take
idea.
Some more?
We'll
let's do it.
Your new way to drive home.
Kennedy Malloy. Okay, here
we're
go.
We're talking about bridesmaids who are being booted out of the wedding party.
And phones have lit up. This is
not an uncommon thing.
A shortage of stories. All right, Beverly, tell us, what happened to you? Were you the bride or the bride the bridesmaid?
I'm the bride.
Okay.
Basically had two friends all organised for the wedding and everything else and picked out the dresses, everything else. Confirmed the date of the booking for my wedding, which was the weekend before Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
And the one of my bridesmaids turned around after the dating guy for 2 weeks and went, I can't go and be your bridesmaid because I'm having a dirty weekend with the boyfriend that I've just met. So see you later.
That's the only legitimate excuse I've heard so far.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And she didn't help with much. She said she was going to come and help with the invitation. She was going to help the brides. The hen's night, did nothing.
So, how far out before you took her out and whacked her? A week?
4 months.
Four months. We had plenty of time.
The week I had to put out the invitation, she turned around and just went, no. And I went, all right, fine, I'll find someone else.
All right, well done.
Thanks, Beverly.
Hopefully that had a happy ending. Sean, what happened to you, mate?
How are you?
Good. What happened?
I booted her out.
You booted your wife's bridesmaid?
What?
Yeah.
Hang on a second.
What's going on? What have you got to do with it?
Overreaching power.
it was getting time for the wedding, for the dress fittings, and we arranged a weekend for her to come and do it, and she never turned up. So I rang her and said, you've got next week to do it, and she didn't turn up. So I rang her back and said, don't worry about turning up.
Wow.
You so, Sean, you
in
held
consultation
the...
with the bride, I hope.
The bride.
She was upset, so I had to deal with it. So.
You had to do the dirty work.
All right.
Sean, I'm fascinated by that intervention.
I know grooms who've pretty much said this. I'll turn up on the day. I can trust you.
But isn't that what all brides want?
Want. Mm.
They just, I don't want your help.
I don't want your help. He goes, just tell me where and when.
Exactly.
And I'll turn up.
In fact, I think it'd suit a lot of brides if there was no groom.
Well, it happens now.
I know, in Japan
I've told
it
you
does.
That. In Japan.
You can go
and take your wedding photos
it's
and
all
get
girls
everything
want.
Done.
They just want the...
They've eventually made us redundant, which is what they want.
Not such a bad thing.
On their big day.
Hey, Justin.
How you going?
What's your bridesmaid story?
It's not a bridesmaid. My brother got married, so he was the...
Groomsman?
Of a hellish groomsman. Yeah, and he turned around to me after he decided I was part of the wedding party and... He goes, if you want to get into this suit, he goes, I want you to lose 15 or 20 kilos.
Wow. That's brutal.
Oh, how'd you go?
Oh, yeah, I pulled it off.
You pulled it off? What'd you do? Quick, tell us. We both want some tips.
No, I just came home from work every night and just hit
stop
the sit-ups and the push-ups and, stopped drinking as well.
Oh, that's annoying.
Cut that caller off. I don't want to hear any
more. I don't want to hear that either.
Mitch, what happened, buddy?
Hey, mate, it's actually my wife got dumped 2 weeks before a destination wedding.
We got dumped as a bridesmaid?
As a bridesmaid,
why? What happened?
Why?
The only thing we could get the conclusion was that the bridezilla was jealous that she wasn't part of our bridal party.
And was your wedding before?
After.
And of course.
We met through us two boys.
That's a whack. That is a whack.
When I started to be a groomsman...
Oh, that's tough.
I can understand. She's going, hang on a second.
No, grow up. Don't tip for tat.
No, I did a Mick Malloy special, wrote myself off, so my eyes were blood red.
It's the only sensible response. It's the only sensible.
Thank you, Mitch, for that insight.
All right, well done.
Steve.
G'day.
G'day. What's your bridesmaid bride story?
So, bloke dated three sisters. Married the mum, the three sisters were in the bridal party.
No.
Sorry, I can't follow. Say it again.
His mate.
Married.
Went out with three sisters at different stages.
Yes. Correct.
Ended up marrying the mum of the three sisters. The
correct.
Three sisters were in the bridal
we
party.
We have a winner.
$100 fuel voucher for you, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Steve. That's cray, mate.
It is. Yeah, it was. It was incredible.
Good times and laughs all round.
Wow, what a family photo. Family photo.
Love it. Thank you, Steve.
Well done. We got time for one more. You're getting out in that. What do you
think, let's try Gav. Hi, Gavin.
Hi, how are you going?
Good.
What happened?
I booted a groomsman.
Okay, why?
What did he do?
Complete disinterest in everything that my wife and I were trying to organise.
Was he a mate in the first place?
His wife was in the bridal party as well, and she left probably 3 weeks prior. And then he told me, oh, I'll pick up the slack, you know, anything that needs to be organised, you know, let's get together or whatever. Yeah. It was a struggle to get him to the fitting, and then everything after that, you know.
I bet you turned up for the bucks, did he?
No, I haven't spoken to him.
Gavin, you sound far too involved in a wedding for your own good. This is the problem. Yeah. Leave it to the chicks.
Oh, she did a fantastic job, but no, I
good on you,
him,
Gav. All right, thank you very much. I think we might have to.
Well, don't. We'll pull up a pin there.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Limo's going to join us in the next few minutes, but right now, this guy.
He's a pioneering entrepreneur who made millions in the tech boom and an investor who's helping the next generation kickstart their companies. Steve Baxter is quick to notice a great idea on Shark Tank.
I mean, what do I need to do to get you? You name your price.
I have never seen him like this.
And just as quick to dismiss a bad one.
You, honest to God, sell too much. That's actually really bad. I'm out.
But what will he think of Mick invention?
The biggest deal breaker for me when I look to invest in a business is Bullfed Founders.
From Shark Tank, please welcome Steve Baxter.
G'day, Steve.
G'day, Jane. G'day, Mick. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. Good. Strap yourself in, okay?
We might have another Bullfed on your hands here.
How dare you? I'll sue you all. Now, Steve, I watch Shark Tank.
Me too. We really enjoy it.
I love watching people's dreams get crushed. There's something just electrifying about it for me. And I can't help it, but I've got all this so many good ideas. I'm like Australia's own Elon Musk.
Gosh, you're very modest, aren't you?
I am. I'm the next big thing. I've got so many good ideas. And we mooted one on the show the other day. I said, I've got it.
Elon Musk, do you like Insult Heroes and Cave Rescues or something?
Yeah,
that's right. How would he go on Shark Tank, do you reckon?
Oh, he did pretty well. He's a smart guy. So he had a bit of a brain snap in Thailand.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, put your hand up if you haven't had a brain snap. We've all come a cropper in Thailand, Steve. Let me tell you. Okay, here it is. And I don't want you any favours here, Steve. On the tail end of this, I'm going to play you what happened on the show, and I want some honest feedback. Here we go. So, you know, guys wear shirts. You wear your shirt out, Dave.
Sure.
So you might have your Hawaiian shirt on or your bowling shirt
or your shirt.
You're just
flannel.
Just wearing it round.
Yeah.
And, well, how often do you need a bottle opener and you don't have one? So on the inside flap of the bottom, you've got sewn in a bottle opener. So when you, oh, here, mate, here's a beer. Oh, thanks. You just pick your shirt up.
That is actually a really good idea.
Now,
there it is, Steve.
Wait for it, Steve. Digest it. Then I'm going to forget
about it.
I'm actually trying to find the appropriate scale. Is it Buffett or Genius?
Is there anything in between?
I oscillate between the two, Steve.
I've actually solved your problem, Mick. When I got married, my wedding ring is actually a bottle opener.
Wow. So, well, okay, he's on the right track, though.
Okay, Steve, what about this?
He's on the right track.
My corkscrew tie clip.
Now, stick with your original idea. You haven't sold it very
well. Why can't that fly? Because every guy I know, I would say, and Steve, you'll notice most of my good ideas are revolving around alcohol, but most of the guys I know at least would open 20 stubbies of beer a week on the inside flap of their T-shirt. Discuss.
Well, what is it with beers nowadays where you actually can't actually, there's no twist tops anymore. You actually need a bottle opener.
That's right.
So, because of all these new brews, I think. It's the boutique beers.
It's a real problem. And the nice thing about the stubby opening wedding ring is after about five or six beers, your knuckle swells up and you can't do it anymore. And that's people say, maybe you should stop, right?
So it's your own body telling you that enough is enough.
Steve, I thought
just quickly, Steve, I'm prepared to offer you 10%. valued at $5
million. All right. Now you're definitely towards the Buffett end.
Okay, what about this other idea I've been floating, which is the flip-top toilet seat lid, which employs the technology of, you know, your dustbin can in your your kitchen, where you just step on the pedal.
We just pitched in season one.
Yes.
Actually, it didn't make TV. A guy literally came in and pitched this.
I remember,
He came in and pitched this. No, I'm pretty sure it didn't make TV.
All right, what about this one?
I think he threatened to sue to keep it up there.
Okay, Steve, what about this one? And I think I don't get much reaction for this, but I think it's really good. It's a shoulder holster. You know, like cops wear it. Stop it. You know how, like, cops wear in shows when they're interrogating people? They take their jackets off and they've got a shoulder holster with a gun in it. Well, this is a shoulder holster that keeps, like, your phone.
Your keys. And your wallet
and everything. Because guys like feeling tough. And you don't want stuff in your pockets. So when you go.
So you're insinuating that chicks will be turned on by the look of a copper, a detective.
I'll be like a modern day Starsky and Hutch. Steve, that's good,
Steve,
isn't it?
What do you think of that?
It keeps your pockets free.
It's more towards genius than Buffett, I have to admit it. You're well off the Buffett end of the scale, that's for sure.
I'm in for that.
I don't mind that one.
We love watching the show. We love the ideas. I love it when things fly.
You've got a good one. What did you like?
I loved last week you had on the show a guy who had a generator that was portable.
Yeah.
The Mickey Blue. But you didn't go, no one went for that. I reckon that's genius because you don't have to hook up to a caravan park. You can take it anywhere around Australia.
It just sounds like a generator.
But it's a portable generator.
That's what generators are.
I know, but it's a little one and it was silent. Anyway, it was only $2,000. I went, that's what a Thermomix is worth. So I thought it was good value.
Hey, who's on tonight, Steve? Who have you got?
Tomorrow
night, pardon me.
Tomorrow night, yeah. No, we've got pretty sure there's a lady selling some long life pet food coming in and a chap with some interesting tent pegs if you're into caravanning. So
see, that's
be a
good.
Pretty good episode tomorrow night.
You're always looking for a new way to glamp up your life and your world.
Or if you're on the run and you're in hiding.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
All right, Steve.
We enjoy the show. Shark Tank tomorrow night.
Was that
night,
a no? Was that a comeback? Or was that... No, it was a no.
It was more towards a Buffett. More towards a Buffett, mate. More towards a Buffett.
Good on you, Steve. Cheers.
All right. Steve Baxter.
Steve Baxter from Shark Tank. It's a fun show. If you've got an idea, I could pinch or... Or
you
pitch
can pinch.
Oh, you're going to take Shark Tank ideas.
Oh, right. Well, I don't rate them anyway. What about, give me a call and let me know your idea.
All right. 133353 is the number. Pitch your idea to Mick.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Getting a lot of support for my idea of sewing in a bottle opener the bottom flap of your shirt, mostly from my friends who are alcoholics.
Yeah.
But we all think it's a ripper. Hands off, everyone.
And you ran it by Steve Baxter from Shark Tank.
Lukewarm response, let's say.
Well, he gave it the thumbs down.
He didn't give it the thumbs down.
Thought it was a bit yesterday.
I thought we might have got into negotiations.
As we said, there should be a celebrity Shark Tank.
A celebrity Shark Tank.
And if there was a celebrity Shark Tank, maybe I could do Tradie Janie.
We've got a call for this. Is Michael on the line? I think we've got Michael.
Hey, Michael,
how are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, you like the idea of Tradie Janies?
Yeah, look, I was listening over the last couple of weeks when the subject's come up a couple of times, and I just think there's a great opportunity there, and I think, you know, it's not a small opportunity. It's a big opportunity. It's a franchise opportunity, which...
I feel like that, like Jim's Mowing, Tradie Janie, and have also could encourage more women to go and learn trades, go and become apprentices.
And women who are on their own at home might feel more comfortable about inviting a tradie around.
There you go.
And so
it's my idea, Michael.
No,
sorry.
I've trademarked Tradie Janie.
You have not trademarked.
You want to go and have a look?
I'll back you.
Thank you.
Oh, I will kill you if you've done that. In fact, can I just say can we just trademark Tradie Janie right now, please?
If you do call me, you could go to my other business, Janie's Funerals. Which are really good.
Is it when can I still twerk on the altar?
You still twerk. All the brides, instead of bridesmaids, the funeral.
Oh, yeah, the people who carry the coffin.
Pallbearers.
Yeah. All twerk.
That seems really cool.
All right, well done, Michael.
Thanks,
Let's take Brendan. Brendan, what have you got, mate, for us?
I've got glow-in-the-dark tent ropes.
Glow-in-the-dark tent ropes?
Tent pegs.
Oh, no, the ropes so you don't run into them. That's really good, Brendan.
You're right,
you better trademark that.
If you're in fire and you want to stumble off the bed, you don't tip over your own tent.
That's clever.
I like it.
All right.
I prefer glow-in-the-tent pegs. Because then what you can do is when your mates get drunk, you can take them and go and set them up somewhere else completely. so when they roll, they
your
go,
pranks
I'm going to go to...
Shocking. Man,
there's no tents there.
All right.
You sleep in their tent.
Hey, can we go to Glenn?
Yeah.
Glenn, I think I like the sound of your idea. Can you please tell us about it?
Yeah, well, I picture this, right? You need a parallel clothesline, but, you know, you're at work, you've hung the clothes on the line before you go to work.
Yeah.
Especially in Queensland, you get those afternoon storms that come through.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Unexpected storms.
Yeah. You have an awning that sits folded in over the clothesline with water sensors, just like you have on your car.
Yeah.
As soon as the water hits the sensors, boom.
Clothes dry.
Your awning comes out over your clothesline.
Oh, genius.
Well, okay. Glenn, why don't you just put it up before you go to work?
No, because you don't know. You get the unexpected rains.
Because you want the sun. That's just why you just put it on.
You want the sun to dry your clothes.
Really?
Yeah. See, Glenn and I are on the same path, and you don't really know. Have you ever hung clothes on a line?
Never. You're adorable.
He has no idea, Glenn, what you're talking about.
All right, guys.
Thank you very much.
Come back. Let's speak to Big Dumbo, who would never have an original idea.
I beg your pardon? You're not talking about Limo, are you?
Tank Limo.
I think there's going to be fisticuffs in here in a minute.
He's been spreading rumours about me.
All right.
Well, he's next.
All right.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
And it's chock-a-block with the good stuff, people. We will be doing a story. It's about a porn star. I didn't get any further than that.
And
I said
lock it in. Well, it involves the word boob.
It involves a bit of boob. It involves
a
hockey puck. So there you go.
Okay, tell you what appeals to me. Celine Dion. We might get to her because she's done a cover of You're the Voice.
She's come a cropper live on stage at The Voice. Didn't cover herself in glory.
People don't know the words to You're the Voice.
People who've attempted to do this as a cover, it rarely ends well. We'll ask the question, what are the other covers that you don't think were worth the effort?
That's right.
Hey, there'll be plenty more on that front. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. We will introduce you to our next guest, good friend of the show, an all-round good egg. He's one of those guys you just love to have on your team.
Oh, you're sucking up to him.
Limo!
Jane, it is wonderful to see
you.
As always.
Yeah.
Just such a delight.
Thank you.
Every time I see
over here,
you,
buddy.
It just puts a smile on my face, Jane.
That's so nice of you.
And who's this over here? Well,
no, there seems to be you're not happy with me.
Hey, what's the rumpus?
Because I thought I'd come in today and it'd be a lovely moment where we could,
reminisce
about the wonderful day we had yesterday.
What was yesterday?
But there was no sign.
Can you give me a hint?
My son had his second birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, lady.
We're just a little party.
How cute.
Little gathering. Invited
of your good friends.
Invited a couple of close family and friends.
People that have been to your wedding ceremony
absolutely.
In Bali.
Yeah.
You went a long way for that, by the way. and made a big effort.
Now, there was a notable absentee yesterday, Jane. Now, if you're absent from the party, that's not in and of itself such a big deal.
No.
It's the lack of an RSVP.
Oh.
Just nothing. Just radio silence.
Was it a text?
It was a...
If it was an email, he's currently got 3,000 unopened emails on his phone. So.
It was a WhatsApp message.
Yeah.
Hey, can I say something?
It was a WhatsApp message and just silence. Tumbleweed, Jane.
I'm not sure he's been compass since Friday night.
It was lucky I didn't turn up.
It was within 24 hours of a Richmond game, so I'm mildly sympathetic.
Look, can I just say, firstly, happy birthday to Lammy.
I beg your pardon.
I know it's Laddie. Happy birthday to Laddie. And I apologise. I've clean forgot.
Yeah.
I have no other thing. But in my defence, it's the second birthday and you'll never remember it. You could Photoshop me into the photos. And when he gets older, say, oh, gee, we had a good day.
It's funny you should say that, Mick, because we contemplated not even taking him.
Well, this is the thing, as a two-year-old, inviting grown-ups to a two-year-old birthday is an interesting notion.
There's one thing that ruins a kid's party. Kids.
Was I the only notable no-show? Was it?
Yeah, no, it was just you. Geez. You were the only one. And when I told Laddie that it looked like, because Kel kept saying to me, he'll turn up, as if Mickey won't turn up. Mickey.
Oh, no.
God, he's such a great bloke, because if he wouldn't turn up, and eventually I had to explain to poor Laddie that, Uncle Mickey's not turning up. And this was his response.
Understandable.
There was no consoling him, Jane. he was just devastated. And I said to them, I went to the bar staff and I said to them, because we were down the local pub. I said, could you just keep an eye out for Mickey? He might not know that we're back in this room. And they said, well, technically he's still banned from the venue. So.
Hey, happy birthday, laddie. And I would have been there, but I don't approve of the parenting going on at the moment, but with you.
Well,
and the hair, which you're not refusing to cut. He's got this dopey little rat's tail.
He hasn't got it. In fact, you were very out of line, actually, about Limo last week.
I don't recall.
Hello. I don't know if you heard this.
Oh, no, I did not hear this.
Oh. Mean, I don't like to bring it up.
Need, I don't know if we need to play it personally.
I do love the show and I listen a lot, but I miss this.
Disappointingly, I don't know if you're going to come back on the show after
you hear
this.
You're a shocker.
Are you talking about this?
Yeah, I'll have a listen.
Limo, he's got a 2-year-old who's never had his hair cut. It looks like he's got a little rat's tail. It looks like a little Sharpie.
It's really cute. See, Limo's wife, Kelly, loves it.
No, it's bad parenting.
And Laddie's got this beautiful long hair. But when you cut...
And Limo's thinning on top real quick. Can I say that? No,
no. No, you are going to get in big trouble with that. Don't say that.
I've seen him in hair and makeup. They crop dust.
Mate.
Seriously.
Hey. Now, stand back.
Jeez. You've taken that out of context. What is wrong with you, Jane?
Listen.
Don't take the bait.
Have you seen Mick Malloy in hair and makeup? Six blokes come in high-vis vest.
It's a very bad...
Limo, don't take the bait here. She's trying to drive a wedge between us. That can't be...
I am. You did it yourself.
You're an evil woman.
I'll tell you what. You might like to have a shave while you came in for today too. How about that?
Oh, well, straight back at you. Take off. All right, can we go to a song, please?
Hey, Jane.
You pick this.
It takes a flexible razor to get over those six chins, though. That's the problem.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Claire's just tweeted through at Kennedy Malloy, "Hey, lay off Mick's chins."
Thank you.
That was very nice of you.
You brought it up. I didn't.
No, I didn't. Hey, by the way, we went to that concert together and we came back from Hanging Rock. And the concert was brilliant. It took us 4 hours to get back.
That was a long... They breathalysed every single car,
which was kind of unnecessary.
It really did take... That 1 hour drive took about 5 hours.
Well, we were longer in the car than he was on stage. And that's saying something, because he's there for a good while. Now, don't take the bait on all this stuff, Lima, but your child does need a haircut. Hey, can I get... Back to the point.
Well, at least
Laddie, who's two, I would have come if you'd promised to cut his hair because I think you're being selfish here.
Mick didn't even bother to turn up to his birthday party yesterday. At least you
checked the invites,
Mickey. At least you were direct about it. My mum is staying with us at the moment, and my mum clearly doesn't like the long hair, but she chooses.
But how does she do it?
Well, she doesn't. She's not a confrontational type of person, my mother. So she's chosen the passive.
What's her first name?
Jenny.
Jenny. How does Jenny do it?
For Genevieve. Jenny with a G, and. She chooses the passive-aggressive route. So she says things like, you know, that must... Does it get a lot of knots in it? That long? Gee, that must get in his eyes a lot. Does that annoy him when it gets when the hair gets in his eyes?
How long is it? Just explain how long it is.
Oh, it's halfway down his back.
It's about as long as my hair.
Really?
Yeah. And you can do it the ponytail and the top knot.
Are you not cutting it? Just so I'm clear.
Because I'll tell you why.
Hey, don't take that tone.
Can I guess why?
Sure.
Because it's so pure and it's so beautiful and you just don't want to bring a pair of harsh scissors and turn them because they change forever. They look like a little boy.
Why don't we turn it into some macrame and hang a pot off his back? I mean, when does it stop being...
Kelly will agree. Obviously agrees with me.
I'll tell you the real reason, Mickey. I have... no part in the decision-making process here whatsoever. It is completely my wife's call.
Is Jane right? Is that the...
really hard to make that first haircut of a boy.
Why? It's a haircut.
Because they change. It changes their look forever.
And I think now she just wants
to... cut their nails?
We're not cutting his nails. We want him to be like that Indian guy in the Guinness Book of Records.
How is it having your mum stay with you?
It's great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's great. Well, your voice goes up very high when you say
Cool. You know what? We've got mum and the mother-in-law with us. They're both with us. So if you want me on air until midnight, happy to hang around.
What is going on?
Wow.
Was this for the birthday?
This is for the birthday, yeah. There was no room for me. They made the effort. Hey, but the little fella, quick story for you about the little fella.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, you know, kids get sick and you panic and you don't know what's going on. I'd been in at Fox Footy filming The Beep Test, which is a TV show we do on Fox Footy.
Beep Test, very good show.
Excellent.
With Lawrence Mooney, very funny.
Give it a go. It's good fun. And I get home and Kel, he'd been a bit sick, and Kel said, "I'm really worried about him." And I said, "Oh, what do you reckon?" And I looked at him. It looked like he was genuinely in pain, like stomach cramps or something. He was kind of grabbing at his nappy. And Kel said, "I think we should go to hospital." Now, as soon as one of you says we should go to hospital, you have to go to hospital.
You can't be the one that says there's nothing wrong.
So we chuck him in the car. We go to emergency at the children's hospital, and most parents have been there at some point, and you know what it's like.
Not fun.
mostly mothers, some dads. Everyone's super stressed because they're looking after sick kids.
And you know it's going to be a wait.
And you know it's going to be a long wait. Yeah. And everyone looks terrible. And they've got their hair everywhere.
What time is this?
This is about 7:30 at night, something like that. Yeah. Everyone's in tracksuit pants and UGG boots. And because I've come straight from...
Sure you go to the hospital? Haven't gone to some meth label.
No, and because I've come straight from the TV show, I'm in full hair and makeup.
Oh.
Wearing a
well,
suit.
Well, hello.
You're a bit poncy, Dad.
How's this flog's gone into hair and makeup before it's come to the emergency department?
That would get you to the front of the queue, wouldn't it?
No, it didn't. No. 4 hours we waited.
And was he okay?
I tell you what, he really started to perk up towards the end. It was embarrassing. I was splashing water on his face. I said, mate, you better stay sick. I can't have you bouncing around.
Don't you go recovering before we get in.
Do you know what it probably was? He was probably choking on a hair. A really, really long hair.
Listen,
that was no good.
You keep that hair as long as it takes.
This is what the surgeon should have come out and said, listen, your child's good. But we've had to operate. Really? Yes. Here's a rest time. Yeah. All right, Lemo, good to see you. Anything else to plug? Anything else that's happening in your world?
Good on you guys. Yeah. Hey, I just was listening to you talk about bridesmaids earlier.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have any bridesmaids issues at our wedding, Joan.
Did you have any?
No.
And why?
Kel had three groomsmen. Bridesmen, I should say.
That's much nicer.
And you know what else he did, which I only found out recently?
What?
Was they never actually got married. So I'm sending a bill, by the way. So we all go to Bali, we pay airfares and accommodations and we do everything, and to my mind, they were married. And then recently I find out, it was just a ceremony.
That's all right.
Because
it's a commitment ceremony.
And why?
And we did it because we didn't want to get married while gay couples couldn't get married in Australia. So, and now, I actually went.
So I have to pay the price.
You've got
to pay. So now, I'm the victim.
Now you could get married because now we have equal rights, but Mick might not even turn up to
that. He probably won't even turn up to that. I went to my first gay wedding just very quickly.
Yeah.
Our ceremony went for 10 minutes. Right. And it was on. And it was
genius.
And it was on before the footy started.
Brilliant.
Right. There was no dress code.
Was it blokes or chicks?
Blokes.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of booze, bit of music in the background, football on a TV, and no speeches. This is what happens when two blokes organise a wedding.
Yeah. And this is what has taken so long to get across the line. Such a simple ceremony. Well
Thank
done,
you,
Lemo.
Good
to see a beep test or anything else.
Beep test, Fox Footy Friday nights.
Fox Footy Friday nights.
9 PM,
you're doing,
Sunday
you're doing
night.
A very good show on the ABC, which I probably shouldn't talk about radio, but it's a very good run on the weekends.
Yeah, get involved. Grandstand.
Good on you.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home.
Now, if you're at a hockey game and you're a former porn star, but you're now a sports presenter.
I like where this is going. Right. You're a sports presenter?
Yes, she's 25-year-old sport presenter Mia Khalifa, who is a ex-porn star. So she's got
Which is pretty much how Fox News do it in
correct.
In America.
Correct.
I think that's the perfect breeding ground for their newsreaders.
I flicked over the other day and that is very true.
It's just the hotties with big cans.
Yeah. Well, she's
reading out disastrous news.
She's got a big rack.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks for cutting through. Yeah.
Thank you. And she was sitting watching...
By which sports organisation can I... But I'd like to tune in.
I'll tell you later.
Okay, all right. So she's 25, former porn star. Yep. She's now a sports reporter. She's at the hockey.
She's at the hockey, ice hockey.
Ice hockey, yep.
And she's sitting there and all of a sudden a 170-gram puck has flipped over the glass and banged straight into her boob.
Oh.
And clearly it would have hurt.
And you just hear a loud
Beyond that,
deflating.
Her left boob.
It's gone flat.
Deflated. And she said, I grabbed my chest. I didn't want to let go. She's punctured one. Because I felt like if I did let go, blood is going to be everywhere. Crikey.
Oh, wow.
She said, I got to take it home. That would be the puck.
What do you mean?
Because
it was in her breast.
It was the single greatest souvenir any hockey fan can get. She said, they're really heavy. It's pure rubber and they go about 130 kilometres an hour.
Is she referring to the puck or her breast now? Pure rubber.
She said, my left breast is slightly deflated now, but I'll be getting it fixed.
She needs a puncture kit. Like, you know when you used to get with your bike?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know those. Or a Lilo.
Yeah, that's right.
We have to put her boob in water and wait to see where the bubbles are coming from. I'll do it. I'll put my hand up and help you.
Yeah, that's right.
You can catch her on a show called Sports Ball. She's on that. Wow, she's a very well-endowed young lady.
Or embarrassing bodies now, I'm guessing. Mm. She might be on that. Can I tell you, that's bodies. The second funniest boob mishap I heard of. It's amazing how these stories stick in
tell me a funny boob story, Nick.
Well, it was a model, like, you know, one of the car models, like very famous model with fake cans, and she was doing a shoot with a snake. Right? Yeah. You know, I'm talking like draped across the bonnet of a car, snake, that type. You're getting the feel for
Python
it. Well, the python's gone honk onto her boob.
Ooh. Oh, no.
But the snake died of poison because of the silicone. It's the only time I've ever heard of a snake poisoned when biting someone else.
That's funny.
How's that?
Well, I was thinking that is like an embarrassing injury, I guess.
Have you ever had one?
No.
Don't look at me when you talk about.
I'm prepared to talk.
We've done this before.
We have. We like doing things.
A lot of
them
involve dance floor injuries,
which I don't mind. I quite like those.
Someone rupturing a testicle while doing the nut push,
right?
Or something like that.
But stupid injuries. I think what we're after today.
Yeah.
Have you had any stupid injuries?
Well, I heard you did once while we were talking ice hockey. You remember me for the ice?
Oh,
yeah.
You were fooling around on the ice, pretending to be. Star ice skater, yeah.
And I've
had a fall.
Four. Have you got it there, Dave?
I'll have a look for it.
See if you can find it. It's harrowing. It's harrowing. But I've tried to support myself on the way down and ruptured everything, and I'm still in physio.
Unfortunately.
And when people ask how'd you do it, you want to go like, oh, you know, footy, lifting incredible weights down at gym. You go ice dancing? And they go, all right, that's sad.
Do you know what? It was really funny. Sorry. It was so funny when you fell over. Anyway, give us a call on 133353.
You reveal yourself sometimes.
I do. Really have you had a stupid injury? Give us a call.
All right.
Kennedy Malloy.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, Nick, I've got that audio of you, that horrible injury.
Oh, great.
I'm worried you're doing this for all the wrong reasons.
I love hearing this.
We're talking about sports injuries after a porn
stupid
star
sports
got
injury.
Pucked in the boob and had to go
and
home
was deflated.
With a deflated breast.
But the hockey puck.
Yeah.
She kept the puck.
She kept the puck. And it started thinking about stupid injuries, and then I got an injury.
Yeah. So you're doing a promo
also
for
on the ice.
Yeah.
I was doing front bar. It was for a front bar special, Winter Olympic special. Yeah. I was ice skating, and this occurred. I think I've done something to my arm. I think I may have done some damage. And that's funny to you, isn't it?
That is so
it's
funny.
Pretty funny. But
it's the whoosh, boom.
I had to tape myself up like Juddy.
Oh, okay.
You had to get an MRI, didn't you?
Yes, I had to get an MRI and I'm still in
still
physio.
Recovering.
I am still
we had a crazy caller, I remember, quite a while ago. It's a lady who injured herself in one of the more unusual ways I've ever heard. Have we got the bread lady?
Take a listen.
Dana.
I had my sourdough rising for 18 hours.
Yep. Yes.
When I went to punch it down, I tore a ligament in my hand.
You tore a ligament in your hand. Punching your dough down.
Yeah.
Stop rising. That's a good fist fight between you and a loaf of sourdough. We get the idea. Should we get into it?
We've got quite a lot of stupid injury callers. Yeah. Hello, Darren. What happened to you?
I was out with the boys spotlight one night and decided I need to go and have a leak and peed on electric fence.
What happened?
I don't know.
What do you reckon?
you got a zap on the old fella.
You got the shock of your life. It would have blown him about six feet off the fence. And how's everything functioning down there?
Yeah, good as gold, Mickey.
I would have been like supercharged. I'd have ran straight home and had sex with my wife. It would have been like
supercharged from an electric bolt.
It's like an origin story for a superhero. Well done,
Darren. Thank you.
Stuff.
Hey, Robert.
Yes.
How you going? Where are you calling from, Robert?
Brisbane.
Ipswich. Good town.
Great.
Good people. My family originally came from there on my mother's side.
Really?
Ipswich.
Yep.
Good folk.
You could say I'm Ipswich's favourite son.
Oh.
You've got to make up your mind about whose favourite son
Robert,
you are.
What's going on, mate?
Well, I've got a quick one to make you feel better. I dislocated my shoulder falling out of bed. But the real one is that I decided to slide down the back rail, you know, the stairs leading down the back.
Down the banister,
Genius put a tap at the bottom of it, and I've caught my nutsack on it as I've gone down.
Well, and I bet you did that once.
That's a classic Ipswich injury. I don't know anyone from Ipswich who hasn't done that at some stage. And what do you mean? You were taken by surprise that someone had changed the end.
No, I was taken by surprise that some genius thought it was a good idea to put a tap at the bottom of the rail.
Yeah, idiots. Didn't they know that someday someone was going to come sliding down there? Yeah. Nuts akimbo.
Thank you, Robert.
All right, Robert, well done. John, what happened?
Yes, g'day, how are you?
Good.
Good, yeah, made a 21st birthday party, mate of mine. Timber floors. Everyone takes their shoes off, of course. Sliding up and down the floor. My mate, whose birthday it was, hit a grippy patch, fell over, broke both his arms.
Oh, on his 21st birthday?
On his 21st, yep.
That's the Tom Cruise risky business slide,
yeah.
Right?
Is that's it?
In the socks, and he's broken both his arms. I would love
we
to
kept
see
our
that.
Clothes on, though. We just took our shoes off.
Here he comes, slides in, and breaks his arms.
Ouch.
Both arms.
Both arms, yeah.
Lucky Tom Cruise does his own stunts.
Yes,
is what he
does.
Says. All right, indeed. John, it's a very silly mistake. Spencer, it's all men. You notice this?
Yeah, there's a link.
Spencer, what did you do?
This wasn't to me. This is one of my mates in the locker room at boarding school.
Yep.
He ended up with a knife in each of his legs, and it was self-inflicted.
What? How? How so?
He was fooling around with a couple of pocket knives,
yep.
And one of our mates stood in front of him with a newspaper, which he, stabbed down and through. And once that was successful, they then grabbed the Saturday Age, folded it all over, and he took a big old swing, went through the newspapers, and ended up in one in each thigh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's good fun.
Yeah.
That's good fun. Yeah.
You know, I say I can't talk because I've told you, but you see that, I cut my thumb pretty much off. It was hanging in the other direction with a
tendon
pulsing after a pocket knife fight at a school camp. And when I say pocket knife fight, I mean just mucking around. It wasn't like, West Side Story. It was a couple of blokes.
Good time.
Anyway, and I cut my thumb off.
Oh, he serves you right.
And I'm up at a place called Glenmaggie, which is 4 miles from anywhere. This is a true story. So I wrap it up in a tea towel. They drive me all the way to the closest doctor, who happens to be a vet. So I have to get in the car with one of my mates. So they say, bring a friend along. So I get there after 4 hours. He's not there. He's out delivering a calf. So when he finally gets back, he goes, let's have a look at that. I unwrap it, and he goes, well, that's not good. Have you shown your mate? I show my mate. He looks at it and faints.
Oh,
so now I have to get off the table.
So while he can be fixed.
I'm standing there with no thumb. It's 6 hours in. I'm going, is any danger of getting this
seen? Did they have the bit of your thumb? Did you find that?
No, well, I had it still. It was hanging.
Oh, sorry if anyone's eating.
And I tell you this, when I got to the city to have it all removed, he said, that's a bloody good job, the doctor. So
excellent.
Good vetting
vets
all
know
around.
How to do that.
Well done.
All right. Why don't we take a break and come back
we'll
and
come
do
back.
Some more here, I reckon. We're on a roll. Yep. We've got many more to go. Stupid injuries. We know you got them.
1-3-3-5-3.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Look, it pains to say this, but we have some really stupid listeners, it seems.
But in a good way.
Well, we love you, but idiots. Stupid.
Yeah, lovable idiots.
Yep.
And they've injured themselves in myriad different ways,
well, they're
but
very
all,
happy to
but
talk
all
about
amusing
it.
To us anyway. Start at the top, Joan.
Hello, Jay. How are you going?
Yeah, not bad. How are you guys?
Jay, have you got a bit of a stupid injury?
Yeah, I would have been about 7 or 8 years old playing baseball in the front yard with my little brother.
Yep.
Somehow got the baseball bat tangled up in the roped off grass and swung around and smacked myself in the eye with the bat.
Good Ouch. Stuff.
Wow.
But I had a day off school, and to top it all off, when my mum took me back into school, I told the principal my mum did it.
And so began a life of crime from Jay, who's calling us from prison as we speak. Very good.
Thank you, Jay. That's pretty dumb.
As the bigger brother, I used to be able to get my brother to put on a motorbike helmet, and I would run in and bowl beanies at him with a cricket ball.
Wow. Why does that not surprise me?
So much fun.
I'm surprised your brother's as smart as he is.
The good old days. Kelly.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
And you've done yourself an injury. How?
I did do an injury. I consider it a sport. Mm. Yeah. I fell over playing mini golf and broke my arm.
That's brilliant. Oh,
another mini golf tragedy. Another mini golf accident. Was it on the windmill? How'd you do it?
It was down at the Grampians, and everyone said, you've got to go to this place. It's fantastic. So I went there with my late husband and my son, and I said, I'll just watch. And they went, no, you've got to play, I was beating them and then fell over and broke my wrist.
Oh, no, and then your big victory moment.
Can I ask, did you finish the round?
No.
No, it would have hurt. I think Marshy, our producer, actually had an injury from mini golf, if I recall right.
Wow.
It's a story I've told before, but at the National Golf Club, my golf club, there was two four ball playing on the Moon Island. They're on about the 16th hole, and one of them had a quite serious heart attack. And so they called in a helicopter which landed on the ground. They put the guy in and then said to the guy, do you want to come on the helicopter with us? And they went, yeah. Nah, we might finish.
No,
because they were having a good round. Now, had they been having a bad round...
Are you saying because they didn't want to affect their handicap?
No, they want to finish... They want to put their card in.
Wow.
Because they were having a good round. If you get in a helicopter, you can't put your card in.
Shout. Guy's ace. So impressive. Thanks, Kelly. Debbie.
Hello.
Hi, Debbie.
How are you guys?
Good.
What happened?
Oh, it was a doozy. I fell face first down a full flight of stairs. I tripped on the top step and literally did a human slinky. I came straight down off my knees onto my face, and then momentum pushed my legs over my head, and I did a full somersault and landed clear of the stairs and smashed my front teeth in.
And where did you do this? Where were you?
This is... So the kicker is that this happened to me while leaving the strippers on my hen's night.
So did you smash your teeth before you got married?
The week before. So I basically, I whacked my, when I landed on the stair, I whacked my chin on the stair and pushed my front teeth through the area between my lip and my chin. So I had like an inch wide gap and my three front teeth got smashed in.
But the good news is, Debbie, you could have won on one of those Funniest Home Videos.
Funny that was being filmed. We got a prize for you, Debbie. That's a great story. Thank you.
Kennedy Malloy prize pack coming your way. We appreciate your calls too. And plenty more stories coming through on Facebook at Kennedy Malloy. You can share what your stupid injury is.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Have you been paying attention back on the telly tonight?
Yes, it is after MasterChef. We've got Anne Edmonds, Amanda Keller, Ed Cavalier, Sam Payne, and first time Dane Simpson. New time.
Who the hell's Dane Simpson?
He's a young guy. You'll like him.
Like
he's funny,
Sounds like a full house. On. Always a good
full
show.
House. And Russell Sam Payne's back. Yep, Sam Payne's back. And the guest quiz master is Russell Coit.
Russell Coit.
And he's coming in on our show tomorrow.
Oh, I like Russell Coit.
Yes,
have we got a grab from the previous? So he's got a whole new series
he's
coming out.
He's got a whole
Channel
new 10. Series. And,
I'm so excited.
I saw the promo the other night, and you really get to see the red dirt, the big... Redland.
Yeah. Are we talking about Russell Coit's backside?
He doesn't mind dropping his stripes.
Do we see it? We'll see it.
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Have you got a bit from last season of Russell Coit?
But there's no doubting that without doubt, the kangaroo is undoubtedly Australia's most famous animal. When panicked, they can move at amazing speeds. I once chased a male roo on my motorbike and it clocked 60 kilometres per hour before panicking and jumping to its death over a cliff. Top stuff.
Yeah, top stuff.
The old outback adventure. It's a uniquely Australian genre, isn't it? And he's a ripper.
I've got an 11-year-old son who's never seen Russell Coit, and I can't wait for him to watch
my
11-year-old for the first time.
Can probably prop up and watch those two.
Oh, I've got 2 6-year-olds, so it makes 12.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my kids have seen Jackass, so I'm sure Russell Coit is not.
When they possibly should not have seen Jackass.
I don't think that's still in
rated PG or anything. I think
we've just got a couple more of Facebook comments about stupid injuries. Mm. Simon Kello says he had ligament damage in his finger 10-pin bowling.
10-pin bowling. Yes. Imagine getting chopped out of a 10-pin bowling.
Aaron Java says, second day of a 4-week holiday, running down the beach, perving on the lifeguard, tripped in a hole and broke my wrist in two places. So I couldn't end up back on the beach. Couldn't go swimming.
So at least a lifesaver, run to rescue.
There you go. And Adam White, I completely ruptured my left ACL, tore half the cartilage in my knee, playing a casual game of frisbee.
Wow.
That's shocking.
Yeah, the dog is always going to win the frisbee competition. All right, all good?
Yeah.
I cannot wait for tomorrow's program. It is going to be an enormous
Not show. Only is Russell Coit on, George Kalambaras is on the show tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. It's a big one.
Massive show. You can grab the podcast from today's show if you missed any at Kennedy Malloy.
Welcome back, Marshy.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.